Taylor Watch.
Welcome back to another episode of Taylor Watch. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to ya.
Happy Thursday to ya.
Wait, also I want to say we nailed that one. And we also nailed the intro. Like, we have it down.
We have it down.
So good.
Like that. All we need to do is put two fingers up.
We're like, we ready? And then it just
literally
goes.
Like an orchestra.
It's fun. I love
it. I love it.
It's silly, silly fun. Hey, G. What's going on? Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. How are we feeling?
Feeling good. It is Wednesday in our world. We always say this. It's hard for me to lie and pretend in the moment.
Well, because like Thursday vibes are so much better Wednesday vibes. Yeah. So we have to have Thursday vibes. I guess this is like the chicks in the office thing. Like Thursday vibes on Wednesday, whatever.
Friday on a Monday.
Friday energy. That's us. We're Thursday energy on a Wednesday right now.
Exactly. And we're doing great so far, I think. We're off to a hot, hot start.
Yeah.
We, of course, have our voicemails and DMs and such, our favorite episode of the week. We have, a couple of things to discuss. We've got, of course, Adam Sandler went on New Heights.
Yeah.
That was true,
in fact.
It was Adam Sandler, for those who are following along. And then... And then I need to ask Gia about a certain Swiftie fundraiser she attended.
Oh yes.
Which I think will be fun to talk
about.
Let's get into it.
I want to talk about Travis and the horse.
Oh my god, yes, horse. Yeah. Oh my god, I forgot about the horse. So many things have happened in like the last 24 hours.
Yeah, literally.
Great. First, let's start with the New Heights Adam Sandler appearance. So for those who don't who aren't as chronically online as we are, there were jokes going around. New Heights tweeted, happy about the deal, and we have a special guest coming out, tomorrow. And everybody was like, oh my god, Taylor. We were smarter than that. We said, no way.
And
then we saw somebody else being like, it's probably, like, what we want, Taylor, what it's gonna be, Adam Sandler, because Travis is obviously about to be in Happy Gilmore 2, whatever that comes out. And it was, in fact, Adam Sandler. And he had amazing things to say about Taylor.
Oh my god.
Almost 3 minutes long. Like, just waxing poetic about how wonderful she is to his girls, to his family.
She's like so important in our household.
Yeah.
She's the type of artist where you listen to every song in the album. Mm-hmm. You don't just listen to the hits. And he was like, she was so nice to the girls. Like, she watched both his daughters starred in that movie.
The Bat Mitzvah
Don't Come
movie.
To My Bat Mitzvah. You're not invited to my Bat Mitzvah.
Which I love, by the way. We talked
about
that
very
on the show.
Cute.
I love that movie. Cute. So
and
cute.
Adam said that Taylor watched it and was saying how much she loved the movie to the girls and stuff. So it's just so sweet. Like any Tay praise, we love to hear. And I loved seeing Travis's face
He was so like, his
just
cheeks
so
probably
giddy.
Hurt. He's
Well, because it's so nice to like hear people talk so nice and lovely about your significant other, because it's like, they're like my other half. Like,
right. And it kind of feels like credit to me, reflection on me. Cause it's like, my
girlfriend's
amazing.
Awesome. Yeah.
And I got good taste.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of how it is. We should have known that there was going to be like a Travis, Happy Gilmore, something when Adam Sandler and his family went to the Eras Tour movie premiere.
Mm.
When are fans. I think did they also go to the concert maybe one of these times? I can't remember.
I don't recall, but
I feel like that they would have at some point.
Yeah.
And I maybe have seen a photo. There were so many like random celebrity dads and their kids there, which like we love, obviously, but it's hard to keep track. But Travis gave so many signs about Adam Sandler and Happy Gilmore.
Yeah,
so
and he's always golfing too.
He's always golfing.
Yeah.
He wore that hat for a long time.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler's at the Eras Tour opening. Like, there was something else that Adam Sandler mentioned that I was like, oh, fucking duh. Oh, there were clips from Jason and Travis like talking about Adam Sandler's like best movies.
Oh,
and,
okay.
It's just I think that they were low key teasing it a lot more than any of us picked up on. So
okay, they're doing their own Easter eggs.
They were.
That's
they
hilarious.
Really were, but which we love. So congrats to them. And it was a good interview. I didn't listen to the whole thing.
Listened to the episode yet.
The tape praise, and
I
saw a couple other clips that were great. But Adam Sandler, I love him. Like, he's great.
He's just a natural treasure. Like,
national treasure. He is, all of his movies are funny. I grew up on his movies. My dad's always been a big fan. So, obviously, I
like,
I was
oh my God. With Bobby Boucher. What's Bobby?
Waterboy.
Waterboy.
Yeah,
love
yeah, yeah,
Waterboy.
Yeah. Hilarious.
What's the one where he goes back to school?
That's Billy Madison.
Billy Madison.
Billy Madison.
I think I've watched Billy Madison maybe like 60 times as a kid.
Absolutely.
I was obsessed with that. Back Billy to Madison school, and yeah. back to school
to prove to dad that I'm not a fool. I got my lunch packed up, my boots tied tight. I hope I don't get in a fight. back to school. Yeah, no, it's like a lot. Like yeah, a lot it's of a times. Lot. Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore, I would watch like back to back constantly growing up. I also love, I like some of his other movies. I love Mr. Deeds, fucking hilarious.
Mr. Deeds, yes, I've seen that one. I've that only seen Happy so Gilmore funny, like once or twice.
Oh, Happy Gilmore is good. That, yeah, because Happy Gilmore has Ben Stiller as well. Yeah, as like the crazy, like he runs the nursing home that Happy Gilmore's grandma is in.
Oh, okay,
and he pretends that it's like a nice place, and then he's not. That's the one, the famous like every single time. I have something going on, like, with my hands. I feel like my hands are always hurting. Like, I always have, like, a thing. I don't know. And I'll be like, oh, my fingers hurt. And in that line, it's like, oh, your fingers hurt? Well, now your back's going to hurt because you just pulled landscaping duty. And he's, like, talking to the old ladies. Fucking hilarious. Oh,
Ben
funny,
Stiller
funny.
Is also a very he's underrated.
So
funny.
He's funny. So funny. I feel like he was properly rated for a long time. Like, everyone loved him, you know, at the height of his, like, movies.
Yeah.
And then he just hasn't done like, a big movie in a while.
Maybe it's just my generation. Yeah, he really.
I think, yeah, he hasn't had a new. Yeah, not like a new Ben Stiller movie.
Yeah, that's true.
People went apeshit for Along Came Polly. That was never one of my like favorite movies.
Ooh,
people
I really
love it. I like it, but it wasn't like
I really liked Along Came Polly. I liked that Jennifer Anderson's character, like Polly, was like so annoying.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Like I don't know.
I like when she plays roles like that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I just
like in Horrible Bosses, she's crazy.
Oh
like,
yeah,
I love that.
The best Ben Stiller movie is, well, besides Night at the Museum. Mm-hmm. What am I thinking of? Oh, is that Along Came Polly? Was Ruben?
Yes.
You want to go snorkeling?
Yes,
yeah, that is. Yeah.
With Hank Azaria.
Ruben.
Hank Azaria. Who's all the Simpsons voices?
Yeah. Okay, that is Along Came Polly. I don't know what I was thinking of them, but yeah, he's so funny, and I love how him and his wife like actually like. The woman from Dodgeball.
Oh yeah,
they like are they got
Christine,
married?
Christine. Yeah, what's
forget her name.
What's her real name? She played Marsha Brady in like the,
yeah, yeah.
the like fake Brady Bunch movie.
And she was
Christine. Oh no,
she played the woman in Dodgeball. Yeah. I forget what her name is.
Christine.
But then they got divorced, and then they got back together, and now they're like back together. Which I'm
yeah, they're say. Back. They're back. Yeah. back, which is great. We love that. Christine Taylor. I should have known. I love Christine Taylor. Also, she's so great.
She's a slut.
Anyway, so congrats to Travis and Jason for having their first, I think, first A-list celebrity on the show. I don't think they've had. They don't really have guests on that show.
They have.
They have like football players sometimes, and
yeah, right? I feel like they might have had a different celebrity. They have a lot of like A-list.
MGK actually, I think, went on there for a second, didn't he?
I think so.
Let's talk about like
he. Oh, what was I gonna say? Shit.
But Adam Sandler is obviously bigger than MGK.
Oh, they've had like some pretty A-list like football people.
Right, that's what I mean. Like Adam Sandler though is like that's a huge.
Yeah,
like, he doesn't really do. I don't think I've ever seen. Like,
oh,
have you
go.
Seen
they
Adam
have,
Sandler do a podcast before?
Episodes. They had Lil Dicky. Oh, they had Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, I love Lil Dicky.
Saquon Barkley.
Right.
Arnold.
Yeah, that's
a
big
lot
one.
A lot. Julian Edelman, Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Andy Reid. Like yeah, these are all like.
Football
sports
people.
Yeah. So yeah, I think you might be right. Gronk,
like movie Holmes. Star.
Oh, they had Paul Rudd.
Oh, duh. But he's a huge fan, right? He's the big,
yeah. He's
the
a
diehard
big
Chiefs
fan.
Yeah.
Oh no, I was confused. Sorry, but yeah. Yeah, seems like I'd put Adam Sandler as their most famous
guest
besides Paul
I'd
Rudd
say. For sure.
Do you think Arnold Schwarzenegger is more famous than Adam Sandler?
I honestly would put them on the same page just because Schwarzenegger is, you know, the Terminator movies when they came out were the biggest thing in all of all time. And
he
then
was the governor.
He was the governor. Yeah. He did the governator. Yeah. Like he was like, Arnold Schwarzenegger is massively famous.
Yeah,
I put them on the same plane. But yeah, exciting for them. Good for them. Yeah. Love that. Love to hear it. I'm excited to see the movie. I think that
very excited.
Happy Gilmore 2 will be awesome. So
yeah, a lot of pressure.
Do we know like when? Yeah, a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Because it's like everyone's
such a
gonna,
beloved
everyone's
movie.
Gonna look old.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing is that movie was made like, you know, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to look old. And that's just how, gonna
yeah,
be how it is.
I mean it's such an iconic, funny movie. It's kind of crazy that they're going to do a sequel. But hey, I mean.
I'm shocked that they are. When is it coming out? Oh my God, it's going to be on Netflix.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, because Adam Sandler has like a huge deal with Netflix, right?
Duh.
Yeah.
All of his movies are Netflix.
Oh, so
now.
Netflix probably was like, hey, Adam, I'm going to give you $300 million and let's do Happy Gilmore too. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. When? It's not telling me when. So
it probably doesn't
be
have
soon.
A release date. I don't even think they started filming it or anything.
Oh, got it. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's nowhere near.
Yeah, all yeah.
Right. So, well, we'll have to wait forever. You know what I just thought of actually when talking about the fans? Like, I'm talking about Paul Rudd being a fan of the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I thought about, like, an Eagles equivalent, Bradley Cooper, and how, like, Bradley Cooper and Jason are, like, friends now. Like, that must be cool for Bradley.
Yeah, it must
right?
be very cool.
I'm sure they were friendly, but, like, you know, they're, like, in the fam now.
Oh, it's so. I mean, I can't even imagine, like, being a super fan of a team and then being able to like hang out with the team
and then
team.
Being like your friend
and then Bradley Cooper is like the face of celebrity Eagles fan. Like,
oh,
he is the Eagles
he's
fan.
The Eagles fan. Yeah, for sure.
It's awesome.
I like that Bradley and Gigi are still going strong.
Love.
I think they seem like a good, you know.
I like them.
They seem happy.
They seem happy. I don't know what the tea is with Bradley, but you know, people.
Same. I don't know either.
Yeah.
He got wrapped up in all that Lady Gaga drama. Lady Gaga, she's crazy. Like, I love Lady Gaga. I love her. But she's crazy.
She's crazy, but in a good way, for sure. Yeah,
of course,
engaged.
Yeah, she's engaged. Well, so she was dating that guy for a long time, and then at.
That sexy guy.
The sexy guy. Yeah. And at the Olympics, somebody was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. It was like one of the the prime minister of France, or like an assistant to the prime minister of France or something, was like this kid who overheard her introduce this man as her fiance.
Oh.
And then he was like, Lady Gaga's engaged, like tweeted it. And then everybody was like, oh, shit. And then it went everywhere. And she didn't, I don't know if she ever confirmed or denied it, but that's how she had introduced him. And there's like audio of it.
Oh,
so
shit.
It's like, So apparently or may not be engaged.
Congrats to Lady Gaga.
Congrats to Lady
Gaga. She was engaged to that other guy, too.
That other hot guy from like
really
Chicago
hot,
Fire.
Fire
or whatever.
Yeah, I forget what his name is.
Taylor something?
Yeah, Taylor something.
Yeah.
Really, really cute.
How quickly we forget when he's not engaged to Lady Gaga
no,
anymore.
No, I know. Poor guy.
Yeah, he's hot, though.
Yeah, still hot, and that's all
so
that
he'll
matters.
Be fine. He'll make his way in this life. But yeah, so all that's great in the Kelce camp. Mm-hmm. I think, right, that's it with the Kelce. Oh, the horse.
And, yes, Travis.
Congrats to Travis, a new owner.
Travis is
horse
a
owner.
Is a like part owner of a horse named Swift Delivery.
Ooh.
And I actually just watched a TikTok last night and I sent it to you.
Yes, I saw
this
too.
Girl was like, I can't remember if it was her boyfriend or ex-boyfriend, whatever. His family is involved in the horse world, so she got the opportunity to name a horse.
Yeah.
Her and her boyfriend would give like a bunch of names,
right.
like fun names, whatever. And then like if one got picked, then
we
idea.
Horse.
Yeah. The girl thought of the name Swift Delivery after Taylor Swift.
Of course.
And they ended up picking that name. And then Travis ended up buying the horse.
That
which is so funny.
Insane. Like how exciting. Like
so,
what a cool thing. I would freak the fuck out.
That's really cute too. Like,
and
hey,
it's
babe,
adorable.
I just like bought
you
a horse.
Said, I got
in your
this
name.
Horse. Yeah. Like, yeah, like we'll watch this horse. It's a great horse name. It's a great. Like,
and she loves horses.
And she loves horses.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, horse girl.
Yeah.
And I think it's fun. I think that horse racing is really fun. Like I think that's like a controversial take.
Oh,
I know.
Okay.
Because people.
But you're so save the Central Park horses.
So here's the difference.
Mm.
I'm save the Central Park horses because they are fucking abused and they're made to be kept in a high rise in Hell's Kitchen. And I will talk about this until the end of time until things get resolved. They have to walk on the hot heat, pulling people around in Central Park. They're like they're just not taken care of.
No,
it's
not at all.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
And then when they're too old or they collapse or they fall over, or whatever, they send them to this like farm upstate and they kill them. So it's fucked up. Show horses and stuff, I do feel terrible if they like trip and fall and they get hurt. That's obviously so horrible. But other than them racing, they're treated like kings and queens.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they're treated really well. So I don't know.
I guess,
conflicting a little bit in my ideologies. But I think that they're so well taken care of and manicured and fed and you know, whatever that like If they're already living that life,
I
wouldn't want.
It's
I wouldn't
the
be
injury
like, oh.
thing that kind of skeeves me.
It's heartbreaking to say. It's hard to watch.
Do they still kill them if they get injured?
I think depending on how bad it is. Like if they break their leg or something, they have to.
Yeah.
Because they can't. If your horse breaks a leg, I think that's it. Like because their weight is too.
It's
they
too
can't
heavy.
Stand
yeah.
up. And so, but yeah, I don't know. There might be better advances. I don't know. But I know that's kind of how it was.
I just am like. Like, I don't know. We know that horses are fast at this point.
Yeah.
But I'm such a hypocrite when it comes to, like, animal rights. Because, same, like, honestly. I love animals and I want to be more animal advocate. But, same. Like, I love eating burgers and Taylor ham.
Same. Yeah. And that's the thing is I love meat. Yeah. And I will always eat it. Like, that's just, I'm sorry. Like,
no,
I'm sorry to the cows. I'm sorry to the chickens. I'm sorry to everything. To the pigs.
I love you guys.
I love you so much. Yeah. You're all so cute, but also so delicious. Like, I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
If I had to give up any of them, I would give up chicken.
I would give up chicken
first.
Yeah. Chicken's easy.
Chicken's easy to give up.
Yeah. But like steak?
I could never give up steak. Like I steak love is just steak. So delicious.
Like sometimes you just need a big good fucking steak.
Yeah. I always say like I can tell when like my period's coming or like I have my period because I'm like, craving steak. Yeah. Like I'm like, ooh, I need a fucking steak.
Isn't that crazy? Like so, you get your like period primal. And you're like,
that's like the most primal feeling where I hate when I feel it. And like when I realize it after, I'll be like scrolling and be like, ooh, yeah, I want a fucking steak. And I'm like, oh God, like ew. Like am I a vampire? Like, am I an animal? Like,
that's why.
Yeah, kinda.
My friend who's vegan, she's always like, you know, it's like not natural for humans to like crave meat, like blah blah blah. I'm
what?
Like, that's bullshit.
That's the exact opposite.
Like, if anything, like I wake up and I'm like, I want bacon. Like, I want
always
an egg. Like, I want animal products.
Yum. No, like. Give me a hot dog. Like, yeah. I don't even care what that hot dog is made of.
Wait,
speaking of, I went to the U.S. Open yesterday for the first time.
I saw. You looked
loved
so
it.
Cute.
Thank you. Yeah. I planned that outfit for a long time in advance, almost embarrassingly so. Don't want to tell you how long in advance I planned it. But but we went in and it was really cool. I'd never been to, obviously we've been to Forest Hills and stuff, but that's, I found out last time we were there seeing Hozier that is not where the U.S. Open is actually happening. I, for some reason, always thought that it was. And so I went to Arthur Ashe and that's where we watched, my God, Carlos Alcaraz play against a new up and coming star. It seems Lee Tu. T-U. He is from Australia. He's an Asian man from Australia.
Love.
He was an underdog. Is like 189th in the lineup of
people
Lee. Who play. Like, you know, by all accounts, nothing special. Played against Carlos. 2.5 hour long match. It was crazy. It was
fuck
really
yeah,
good. Almost, they like were evening out at one point to the point where we were like, is Carlos going to lose? And then of course he won.
Right,
he's so good. But you know, Lee, our guy Lee, created quite the bit of fanfare and everybody was going nuts in the stands.
Lee too. I like
Lee
that.
Lee too. And so he's a new favorite of mine as well. We'll be following
slay.
Him. Good job. Good effort by him.
There's
and
a lot so, of tennis drama.
There's like, always tennis drama. I'm very interested in tennis and like tennis drama. I like to play tennis. The
tennis
problem
is
that I took like tennis lessons
I
when I was young.
Shoulder.
And oh yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like my shoulders are okay. Mm. It's my like traps that always hurt. Mm. Anyway, so I love tennis. I took lessons when I was young and then I had a class in college that I like play, you know, it was one of those
with
the gym and I took tennis. It was really fun. My only problem is I can't do backhand and I switch my hands. Like I throw the racket and I do that. And I have kind of, no one like told me not to do that, I guess, until my like tennis class. And they were like, you can't do that. I was like, well, why not? I'm bad at a backhand. Why can't I can do both hands?
Yeah.
Why not? And they were like, you just can't do that. I was like, I think you're telling me something that I can do. And I think it sounds like you're jealous.
I think
that
you
I can
just found
this.
A hack.
I think I'm just really good at this.
I was never really good at backhand either.
It's just
but
it's
I'm
unnatural for me.
In sports, so I can use both
I'm
my hands.
I'm a little as well. Yeah. Not I'm so bad with my left hand everywhere else. It's really just tennis that I can that I can do.
Like I shoot
my
a dad basketball is, with my left hand.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
You know, my dad is like that. Where all he writes right-handed, but everything else is left-handed.
Yeah, it's so weird. My sister throws with her left hand.
Weird.
Yeah, it's so weird.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Weird little family quirk.
Anyway, the whole reason I brought up that, I like that though. Yeah. The whole reason I brought up the U.S. Open and all those things is because I had an all beef hot dog. and it was
delish.
The best, like, Gia, maybe the best hot dog I've ever had. It was plain, naked dog. We walked in and like the food things were all really crowded and we wanted to get our seats and whatever. And we knew that there was gonna be hot dogs and stuff inside the stadium. So we're like, let's just grab a hot dog. Like, who cares? I go get a little hot dog. They're all like wrapped up already because they got to keep the lines moving. So I was like, this is going to be a soggy dog. It's not going to be good. Like whatever. I sit down, I open it. Perfect amount of like humidity in the bun.
Love.
And
to keep it like nice.
It was like a thick beef dog.
Love.
And it was like, I was eating it. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, did you guys get this hot dog? Like, this is the best hot dog I've ever
had.
That's
hilarious. Like, wait, we both had really good hot dogs then. Because
you had a good hot dog.
My dad got, Wagyu beef hot dogs?
What?
Yeah.
I love Wagyu beef.
They were really good.
Shit,
yeah. Did you see my
good.
Picture I posted on Twitter of
did
my
I?
Hot dog?
I think maybe I did. Maybe I liked it. But I don't know if I processed
aesthetically pleasing right now. Picture of a hot dog I've ever taken in my life.
Oh no, I did, and yeah. I liked it. Wow, oh, yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah. This was the Wagyu beef.
Yeah,
fuck,
very good.
And ooh, with that relish on there, I love relish.
Love relish, and I always go yellow mustard. I don't like ketchup on my dog.
I'm a ketchup girl.
I always do. But mustard.
I had, like I said, there was a naked dog because I couldn't find the ketchup, and I went, I can deal.
Raw dog, as Frank would say.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, all a good time, all fun. But the horse, you know, back to the horses.
Yeah, yeah.
The horse racing is cool.
Yeah, so I don't think he's like, I don't really understand how horse racing works, but like, I don't think this horse like is going to be like in any like big races.
Oh, no. It's just like the name of the horse. Yeah. I think it ran at the Kentucky Derby, but not just like in a random race, like not anything.
Right. Because
I think that's where he like found out about it or something.
Yeah.
I thought I read that in a tweet or
probably.
Article.
I don't really remember.
That might be misinformation though, so don't take that as fact.
But Jason quote tweeted the tweet about Travis adopting the horse.
Oh, I didn't see this.
And let me find it. It's really funny. He mentions... I can do it with a broken heart. So it says, Super Bowl winning tight end Travis Kelce of the Chiefs has acquired a share of a Team Valor 3-year-old thoroughbred fittingly named Swift Delivery. And Jason quote tweeted and said, but does it have an enlarged heart? ... Can this horse do it with a broken heart? Which I don't really get. Like,
that's funny. Does Travis have an enlarged heart?
Yeah,
is that
maybe.
The implication?
Does someone have an enlarged heart? So I don't know.
Watch, it's like Taylor has an enlarged heart.
Imagine. But does it have an enlarged heart? Can this horse do it with a broken heart?
I love that. Yeah. I love that. That's interesting. I don't get that. There's a layer of inside joke there that we are not privy to.
Yeah, that we're
but
not
I do
in.
I like the reference that I can do it with a broken heart reference.
Yeah.
Also too, that was a good point reading that tweet, is that Travis doesn't own this whole horse outright. A lot of the time with these horses, people don't know. A lot of time with these horses, people own like pieces of like the profits if the horse wins or whatever, so you can own like a share of a horse, and that's what Travis does.
Yeah.
So
doesn't Dave do that too?
Dave does that too. Yeah. And so, I don't think any of the horses he has are like all his. I think he'd be like living in the stall with them if it was. You know what I mean? Like he'd be like, "This is my pet."
It's
now.
The most expensive,
super
sport
expensive
to like get involved in, right?
Oh yeah, well, it's rich people only. You got to be rich.
Yeah.
But so that's exciting.
Exciting.
That's something exciting to look forward to. Swift Delivery. My grandpa will love that. I got to call my grandpa. Tell him.
I love. I'm going to be cheering on Swift Delivery for sure.
Absolutely.
Who farted? Do you know that? Who farted? Who farted? Who farted?
I
don't even
think.
What
race is that? What was that from?
I don't even know if it's a real race.
No,
but
it was
my
dad. I remember this. Yeah, I remember that.
It's like a horse race, and the horse's name is Hoof Harded. And the announcer is, he's about to win, and the announcer's like, Hoof Harded, Hoof Harded, Hoof Harded.
I hate it.
My dad quotes that all the time.
God. I remember being at Parker House when American Pharoah won. That was a big deal.
Why does like everyone remember American Pharoah winning?
Because it was like a triple crown. It was like the first triple crown in a while. It won like, you know, I think like Belmont, Kentucky Derby, and whatever the other big one is.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't know it well enough, but I remember everybody like it was up on all the TVs in the basement
House,
and it was like a big deal, and it was a fun memory. Good
time. Yeah.
So congrats again to the Kelces. They're just they're filling the void as Taylor takes her time
seriously.
Off. They're like, okay,
we
babe, don't worry, we'll
change the name
distract.
To Kelce Watch.
Yeah, to Kelce Watch. Yeah. It's true though. Like they are, you know, Taylor's taking a break, and they're like, all right,
they're doing the heavy
girl,
lifting.
We got it. Yeah,
yeah,
so
yeah.
We're
which
all
we appreciate.
Good right now. I also saw the I don't know who it was, E or Vanity Fair or somebody did like a who said I love you first? Who's
yeah, the Kylie and Jason.
Kylie
yeah,
and
that
Jason,
funny. Yeah,
and that Kylie's a big spoon. Yeah, of course,
of
love
course.
It. You're, if
of
you're,
course.
If you're a big spoon, you're a real one, and that's that. It's like you gotta embrace.
Sometimes
big
the boy
spoon
wants to be the little spoon.
Exactly.
And that's okay.
Sometimes embrace, and I'll tell you what, like they appreciate it.
Yeah, they
do. That's an appreciated thing.
That's really funny.
Sometimes
thinking
you
about
big spoon.
Kylie big spoon
to Jason. He's just so big.
Yeah,
but she's big too. She's tall.
She's tall.
You know, like
yeah.
she's a
tall
girl.
She's tall as fuck.
She can do it.
Yeah.
Also,
they're so
totally
cute.
Side note, speaking of strong women, Alona
Mare.
Congratulations.
Yeah. She's on the cover of
digital cover of Sports Illustrated, looking fucking awesome.
She's just a baddie, so beyond strong, baddie.
So beautiful.
She is really Alona. Just a breath of fresh air when it comes to women and sports. Like she gives such a unique perspective. I think, like, I don't know how to word it, but like everyone thinks that she's gay, but she's straight.
Right.
And like, because she's like a bigger woman and she plays rugby and she has muscles. So everyone like assumes she's like
breaking the stereotype. She's so self-aware of the stereotypes. Yeah. That she like plays into them, jokes about it, whatever.
And she's also and like,
she's just very confident in herself.
Very confident. And she always talks about how like it's okay to one day want to be super feminine and then the next day you want to be super masculine. Like there's no code. There's no like, you know, pattern that we should all be following. She's really like breaking the glass ceiling, I feel like, for like
she's defying gender
women
roles
and like feminine and it's still being feminine.
Absolutely. We love her for that.
We love her. We stand her so tenfold. You know what we also should talk about that I just realized? That little Entertainment Tonight Blake Lively Justin Baldoni snippet.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
what is that about? Okay, so Gia sent me this yesterday. And I had no fucking idea. I don't think you didn't see this either before that, right?
Like, no, I just sent it to you and I was like, wait, what?
It says ET, which is a trusted source, we know. ET can confirm that Ryan Reynolds writing a scene for It Ends With Us that made it into the final cut of the film did indeed come as news to Justin Baldoni, who found out only after Blake Lively revealed it in a red carpet interview. I mean,
not a good look.
Here's my question, though. How does something like that happen? Justin Baldoni is the director of the movie.
I know.
There's a scene in the final cut that he doesn't know about.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Doesn't know where it came from. That makes no sense to me. And they
maybe
also
he
were
knew
saying
that they shot it, but they didn't know that he didn't know that they included
but he's
it.
The director. The director sees the final.
Yeah, like,
cut.
How does he not see the final cut? Maybe he was so pissed off about them pushing like their creative process, that he was just like, well, did seem like that. He was like hands off by the end of it because like they were like, do you want to direct the second one? He's like, that's all Blake. Like,
yeah.
I'm good. It really seemed like maybe he was a little hands off by the end of it. So maybe he had no idea. And maybe Blake saw that as a perfect leeway to just add a little extra cut in there.
A way to jump in there.
Yeah.
He was, in retrospect, it does seem, you know, slightly shady when he's like, oh, I think that Blake Lively is like ready to direct. Like, he clearly was like, she wouldn't get off my fucking ass with this whole thing. And she clearly wants to like, when he said that, I envisioned like a dramatic scene between the two of them, like fighting on set, being like, if you want to direct the movie, you direct the movie.
Yeah, totally.
Like, that kind of like, you know, like we see in
movies. I would love to be a fly on the wall for that situation.
Me too. But that's an interesting development.
That was interesting. Yeah. And like, didn't really see any headlines or anything about it, which is kind of crazy. And I feel like it's kind of just going to be swept under the rug
for
at this point.
Like, for sure. But I am surprised Entertainment Tonight, like we said, trusted source, a Tree Payne trusted source. Mm-hmm. So we know that they're non-objective and fair, and they don't spread lies. Mm. And so I don't know whose PR camp is saying, putting that out there.
Right.
Because I can't tell. Because I don't necessarily think that sounds
crazy,
like something
because it's like ET can confirm.
Right. Like it seems like something that could only have been confirmed by Justin, right?
Yeah.
And also seems, like I guess, in favor of Justin. I can't really tell.
It just kind of feels
like an honest statement. Like, the way they presented it just feels like a here's a fact, and interpret it as you may. So,
yeah, because we never
know
at the end of the day, like, who was the real issue. So,
right,
like,
exactly. Sounds like they were both, like, ego-driven and just obnoxious about
maybe
it.
Maybe they just didn't get along.
Yeah, maybe they like, don't fuck with each other.
Yeah, not everyone gets along
I get that. And you know what, too? If you don't like someone, if you're, like, specifically men, like, if there's a man I don't like who I, like, really fucking hate, I can barely be in the same room with him. Like, it's just, like, I have a lot of tolerance for certain people, but there are some that I just fucking, like, I'm, like, want you dead and I need you out of here. And, like, I can't even look at them because I'm so angry. So I imagine if there was, like, that rift or the pushback or, like, the energy was off, like, it gets, by the end of shooting a movie, I'm sure you're, like, get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah, totally.
Stay out of my sight.
Totally.
Ugh. Terrible.
Interesting.
Was there one other thing that we were... I feel like we have the Kelseys we were talking about, the Blake.
The horse, Adam. Blake. Yeah, I know. Why do I feel like there was one more thing that we wanted to say?
Oh, Barry wants a Sabrina Carpenter Bratz doll, of course.
Oh, Barry. Can I have one?
Yeah, love.
Barry commented
on. Can I have one?
He commented on the Bratz Instagram. of they made like a brat version of Sabrina and Jenna Ortega, and he commented, "Can I have one?" Mm-hmm. Sure, like, Barry.
He's down bad.
I think that just proves that they're just very much like situationship vibe. Like,
absolutely.
When I see you, I see you.
Which is fine. I think that's fine. And you know what? I remembered, or I realized.
He has a kid. She's 23.
She's 23 years old. Yeah. He's not much older, but like, you know, she's young. She should be living her life.
She should live in her best life.
She's having fun with him.
She's on the top of the world right now.
She said it in her in one of her songs. I think one of the lyrics is something like, I'm in your town, give me a call, or let me stop by.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, like, something like that.
I'm in your country. Like, isn't there something like that in there?
I don't remember.
Am I making that
I'm
up?
In your country.
Not those words specifically.
Hey, I'm in your country.
There's definitely a line that's like.
Yeah, something like.
I'm here.
I'm at the right place at the right time or something.
Yeah. Something also you sent me that I did not see before. The Steve Martin praise for Taylor Swift. Steve Martin praises Taylor Swift during an interview with Selena Gomez and Martin Short. Here's how I unite Taylor Swift and Selena. Taylor Swift handles everything perfectly, and so does Selena. In the situations I've seen, politically, trolls, everything. She just seems to have a... Okay, Steve, let's not lie about Selena being good with trolls.
Yeah.
I was
Steve must not be online.
That's hilarious. But nice. Okay. In the situations I've seen, politically, trolls, everything. She just seems to have a wisdom about how to do something quietly and effortlessly. And I know that you have to think about these things. Gomez says, I wish I was recording that to send to her. Aw, Steve Martin, so sweet. But I mean, yeah, Selena. No, she's gotten better. She has gotten better. I think Selena, honestly, working with Steve Martin and Martin Short and Meryl Streep and like working on Only Murders and everything.
Probably better for her.
It's really good for her. Yeah. I think it's really good for her. I think that working with mature adults and being who are not online all the time and I think that is like the world that she probably feels best in, you know. She seems great. She was doing a Only Murders in the Building, like I don't know what it was. It was like a in conversation with maybe the new season's coming out soon.
Yeah, the new season four is coming out like soon, I think.
Right.
If
so
not,
they're doing press certainly, but they were all on stage and she was giving that speech. Remember?
I remember the other thing we wanted to talk about now, though.
Oh, what was it? That's it. For
the Swifties for Kamala.
Oh my God, that's right. Wait. Okay. Wait. So there's a few layers to this.
Yeah.
One, Gia told me first of all. After the fact, which is how I know that you were keeping it under wraps.
Yeah.
Gia got invited. I was not invited. And Gia got invited to attend the Swifties for Kamala event, which they put on.
It was like a virtual Zoom event. I want you to tell the details because
I didn't know about it until after it was done happening. I thought, oh, that's interesting and cool. And honestly, a smart way to kind of get around, you know, to Swifties are supporting Kamala and not have to have Taylor like say something about it.
Yeah.
So please share the experience about it. I'm so curious how this went, and I'm fucking dying that they asked you to come and did not ask me.
Well, I was like,
they heard that I'm too like middle of the fence, and they're like, we can't have this bitch
that's
come.
Funny.
I'm not middle of the fence on. I'm not, but like,
I just
I don't like to get too.
I was surprised that I even was asked because like I do feel like I talk about politics sometimes, but I used to be super vocal about politics in like 2020, 2021.
Yeah.
And then as things kind of started to die down, like I kind of took a step back, whatever. And I've been more interested back in it now with the election coming up and everything.
For sure, of course.
So I got invited and I was like, hey, I might as well go see it. They were like advertising that some senators were going to be there. So I was like, oh, I'm interested to see what they say.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
I'm trying to think of the highlights. Carole King was there.
You said Carole King was there. That's crazy. Carole King. I thought I saw Elizabeth Warren as well.
Elizabeth Warren was there.
How exciting.
She gave a great speech. It was very, very, very moving. Carole King, like, sang a little bit of Shake It Off. She said it was, like, her favorite song. Yeah.
Carole King sang Shake It Off?
Just for, like, literally, like, 10 seconds. She was like, Shake It Off.
Oh, that's
Shake
adorable.
Yeah,
oh,
it was
cute.
Really cute.
We have to remember that Taylor did the Carole King tribute.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So Carole King and Taylor are like good friends.
Yeah.
And Carole King was just telling everyone like, don't be afraid to be vocal. Like, don't be afraid to speak out. Whatever. Like, now is the time. Blah blah blah.
Nice. Maybe I should have been invited to this. I could have used a pep talk from Carole King about being vocal.
Yeah.
Because I'm afraid.
One
right
of
now on Twitter.
I forget one of the senators' names. It was a guy. He said that his favorite song was
Pete
Snow
Buttigieg?
On the Beach. No, it wasn't Pete Buttigieg. I would know Pete Buttigieg.
Snow on the Beach?
Yeah,
wow.
He says Snow on the Beach is his favorite.
Okay.
Which was funny. But it was like, it was mostly just like people talking about like why this election is important, and like what the correlation between like Swifties and Kamala and women and blah, blah, blah. And
It was, who like ran the whole thing? Like how did this come about?
I honestly don't know. It was like literally like some person was like, we should like band together. Oh, here. Co-founder Irene Kim. I think, and I don't know who the founder is though. Let me see if I can find it. But I don't know. Yeah, so I don't know who started it. I got an email. I got an email from Swifties for Kamala. Let me see if I can find.
That is so funny. An email where to like your, like to my you have my in your TikTok? Gmail,
like to my.
Is that the one you have in your TikTok?
Yeah.
Maybe I should put my email on my TikTok. I feel like I failed something not having been invited to this. Like, I feel like I failed a test.
I should have just told you about
like,
it.
No. Because I wouldn't have, like, by the way, I wouldn't have, like, I would have felt pressure if I got an email like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
However, the fact that I didn't, I'm like, wow, damn. Like, I'm doing something wrong. Like, I now feel like I'm doing something wrong.
No, I don't think you're doing anything wrong. It kind of was just, like, something that was put on my calendar. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I'm definitely interested. Let me see. Someone named April something.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. But my name is not Taylor, actually April. I'm a political director here for Swifties for Kamala. Wow. We're happy, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it seems like it's a bunch of women. Someone started with the idea and then they all just kind of like
just ran band
together, reached out
thing.
To a bunch of senators, whatever, wow. Made it into a really big thing. They raised like over $140,000.
Yeah, that's it was unbelievable.
Crazy. It was crazy. They were like, fantastic. We don't really need Taylor to get involved. Like, we can do it ourselves, you know?
Which is honestly what I admire about the whole thing. And again, I saw like PopCrary posting about it after the fact.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
At first I saw it, I was like, who's doing this? And like, what kind of shoddy bullshit is this about to be?
Yeah.
But then when I saw more about it, I was like, oh no, this is a very legitimate operation. Whoever put this together, kudos to them. Nicely done. And yeah, it's true. Like if you are someone who, I'm trying to put this in a way that doesn't sound mean, I guess, but if you are someone who isn't sure where you land politically and you kind of look towards celebrities or people that you admire, respect to see which way they lean to then make your choices, which I don't always think is the right thing to do, depending on who you like.
Yeah.
But Taylor specifically, we already know how she feels politically. And in this moment in time, she hasn't said, like, vote for Kamala.
Yeah, yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you can't get involved. It doesn't mean that you can't do things like this or be vocal about your feelings and thoughts about women and you know, the presidency and all that. So
I'm reading
how exciting.
A funny article. I forgot about this, but Elizabeth Warren said that 10 Minute All Too Well was her favorite song when she has the time.
Of course. That's funny. When she's got 10 minutes to spare.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it was fun.
Funny.
It was really funny. It was really actually, I thought it was very
empowering. Did you feel empowered?
I did.
Good.
Honestly.
Then mission accomplished, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
It was nice to have like a lot of women in a space with all the same beliefs and, you know, and supporting each other.
I need to start. I think my problem with it is like, we live in here too long. Like this is.
Yeah,
we're
totally.
Here.
And
not
like,
that's it's just we're not around a lot of girls all the time.
Yeah.
Like it's just kind of it's like a very go with the flow. I'm very much. I'm afraid to talk about politics publicly because I know that once you start talking about politics, you start like dividing people.
Yeah.
And you start like. I don't know.
I wasn't even sure if we were going to talk about it today.
Oh,
because
I think that
I don't want anyone to be like, oh, I don't want to listen anymore
because
she went to
Swifties
for Kamala. But like, I got invited. I wanted to see what it was, and I liked it. Like,
there's nothing wrong with that. I think you know, it's better to, you know, do your own research, talk to your own people, do your own
it's
thing
like,
than it is to just go in blind or just you
or
know,
just not do
it
and just shit on it and be like, this is stupid. Like,
right.
I thought it was great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
Proud of you for going. Getting involved. And
I try.
Holding up the fort for us.
Yeah.
Again, thank you for making sure that people still know we're a feminist podcast because I'm setting it back, clearly. I made that hot sauce joke about her too many times.
That's hilarious.
That
I'm trying to do my due diligence.
Yeah,
to,
and say you're
to bring
us
back
afloat.
Women's rights to this podcast.
That is, yeah. And by the way, the most important issue. Like, if you, that's whenever he's like, oh, politics, whatever, who are you voting for? I'm like, literally, whoever, like, you know, we need abortion. Like, that's that's it. Like, if you're not giving me that, then that's it. Like, I just, we need that. We need women's rights. We need,
just like, I just like it. Really would like, there is no other conversation. My period fucking sucks and it's debilitating. I just want my birth control.
That's what
please,
I'm saying. Like,
thanks.
Those things are non-negotiables in any way. Like, you can't even pretend. Yeah.
And
like,
it's scary
whatever.
Now because women in certain states don't have that option anymore.
Horrifying. Absolutely sad. Horrifying. Yeah. And something that, you know, we live in New York City. We're very lucky to not be directly affected by that. But it's a real problem.
Yeah, that's
why
I hate people's argument of like, well, it's states now. So like, why do you care? You have it. It's like, well, yeah, I have it. But like other women don't.
Right,
am I not supposed to
up.
Care about other people?
Exactly.
I'm
you
confused.
Care about other women. Like you care about women everywhere. Like we all should be on the same page. And I feel bad when we're not. And it's not fair. But yeah, all right. So
On that note,
we got that. Should we get into our voice?
Yeah, let's do it.
Chatty Cathy's today, but
I know we really are chatty Cathy's.
I'm feeling good about being chatty.
All right, guys, quick break for our besties over at Boll & Branch. Boll & Branch is here to help you never sleep hot again with sheets that are woven to allow airflow and feel cool and crisp to the touch. Woo. Perfect for sleepers who run hot.
Yes.
Just like me and Kelly, we run hot all the time. So it's nice to come home, especially, it was cool a little bit this like past week, and then all of a sudden
today's the hottest
fucking
thing.
Jacked
it's 95
up.
Degrees
it's
right
crazy.
Now.
It's crazy. So I'm excited to get home tonight, get into my cool sheets, and be so nice and light. Airy.
So soft on my skin.
Oh, yes. So
on my
soft.
Face as well.
Because they're made from either 100% organic percale, cotton percale that's made with a natural coiling weave, or their linen, which is made from European flax to be light and airy and softer than soft. You guys know that we love Boll & Branch. We talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. I have the sheets. I have a blanket. You have a.
My whole house is like overrun with Boll & Branch at this point. I've got two sets of PJs,
the PJs
now. I've got the waffle blanket. Mm. I've got the sheet set. I bought myself
the quilt.
I got the quilt.
Yeah.
That's what I had, the waffle quilt.
Yeah.
And I have the a new set of pillowcases with the double Bs, and it's their textured.
The bougie. Yeah,
and they look so good on my bed. My bed has this whole like cream thing going on, and they just look fantastic with
it.
It's great
just,
with my
it's
duvet.
Very luxurious. Extremely. Is the way I would describe their sheets, because they have, well, at least mine, I have the mineral colored ones. Mm-hmm. They have like a really lovely like sheen on them.
So do the cream.
The cream
ones
so
do.
Nice.
Yeah.
It really just adds that extra little pop.
Elevates.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And Boll & Branch sheets are loved by millions of sleepers, and they fit the deepest of mattresses and are labeled with top and bottom tags. Mm-hmm. So making your bed is easier than ever. And they also give you a 30-night worry-free guarantee. So
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
We know
30
that that's
nights,
crazy.
That's a whole full month of sleeping on the Boll & Branch sheets. So you can really get a good grasp of if you like the sheets or not. And if you don't worry about it, because you can return all your orders with free shipping, no worries, and you can get your coolest and most comfortable sleep with Boll & Branch. Get 15% off plus free shipping on your first set of sheets when you use promo code TaylorWatch at BollAndBranch.com. That's BollAndBranch.com. Promo code TaylorWatch for 15% off plus free shipping. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Let's jump into voicemails and DMs. We got some
Perfect.
Good ones today. Woo. So let's do it.
Slice.
Okay, first one.
Hi, G and Kelly. First off, I just want to say that the podcast is great. I love it. And I
can't wait
for the new episodes every week. And so I was listening to the last one about the invasion of privacy of celebrities, and especially Taylor. And I was just, I don't know, my mind went to Harry Styles, and he was in London not so long ago, walking around the city in those short red shorts, you know, and no one was taking pictures of him.
I know exactly
no
what you're talking about.
Actually, like, invading his privacy. No one was touching him or, you know, saying anything. He was just out there living his life, and I just feel like I never or almost never hear about the level of invasion of privacy that Chappell or Taylor, you know, encounter when we're talking about men celebrities. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. And the second is I feel like the fans in America are a little bit more, like, crazy than in other countries.
Facts,
I don't know why,
so true.
But, like, in London, all those celebrities and the Hines sisters and, again, the Harry Styles, they were just walking around the streets.
Yeah.
And people seemed to, they acknowledged that it was him, but there wasn't, like, a I don't know, huge thing out of it. So, anyway, that's what I came up with while listening to the episode, and then I just saw the TikToks about Harry and his red shorts. So, anyway, yeah, love the podcast. Love you.
Yay.
Bye.
Thanks, Queen.
Thank you, Queen. Love you.
Yeah, I think she makes a really good point with the American fans. I do feel like American fans, just not even Swifties, just fans in general, are fucking psycho.
It's out of control. And I don't know. Like, I know that there are moments in like Europe or Asia, wherever these other people, you know, tour or travel to, these celebrities tour or travel to, where like if people know they're going to be in a certain place, they get swarmed.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like I used to think celebrities could walk around New York City and no one would ever fucking notice. And that is kind of the case half the time. Like celebrities are always walking around. And I, by the way, never recognize. Like if a celebrity's walking on the street, I will like, I'm just bad at that, recognizing them.
I'm pretty
good. And so, but that's great though. Yeah. Like it's cool that you're good at it. Like,
me and Madeline were at to dinner in Chicago, and the guy from the Sydney Sweeney Glenn Powell movie, Along Came You or whatever.
Anyone But You.
Anyone But You, yeah. The boyfriend, the ex-boyfriend, you know, the dark haired one.
Oh yeah, he's so cute.
Yeah, he walked into the restaurant and me and Madeline look at him, we looked at each other like, that's that guy.
That's
like,
that guy. Yeah, we knew I don't know exactly his name, but yeah, he's so
I don't know.
Cute.
His name's like Declan or Darren something.
He's not also in.
He's also in. I thought it was The Fosters, but no, he's in another show.
Darren Barnett. He's in like
Never Have I Ever.
Never Have
I Yes. Never Have I Ever. Yes.
Yes.
I always mix that up with The Fosters too. Yeah. But I literally recognized him in a instant.
Wow, that's hilarious.
But
yeah, no, like I wouldn't recognize. Like I would probably see them and be like, oh, they're hot, and then I'd be like, you look familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
You're hot, almost too hot to not be a movie star.
Yeah,
then,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, later, but no, I think that like celebrities generally in New York can kind of walk around and do their own thing and like whatever and go relatively
unnoticed.
I
see like Jesse Eisenberg walking around all the time.
Always. I saw
Andy
Darren
Cohen.
Chris.
Yeah.
Darren Chris, I see him walking around all the time or used to.
I really think it
I saw Meryl Streep at a restaurant uptown once. That
jealous.
Was the coolest thing.
I saw Busy Phillips once.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it was
Busy.
Cool.
But
I saw that old pervert grandpa from White Lotus.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what's his? He's such a famous actor.
Yeah, I forget what his name is too.
Leon something.
Yeah, but I was like, oh my God, hey, it's that guy. It's the pervert
grandpa. That might have been his name in the show, actually.
But I do think like with Harry, like I don't know if it's a men and women thing when it comes to like the craziness of fans.
Oh, F. Murray Abraham.
F. Murray Abraham. Yeah.
Agreed.
Because I do feel like I see videos of like certain male celebrities, like they get swarmed. I mean, look at like the Jonas Brothers, One Direction, whatever.
Yeah.
Like all those, like maybe like the actors and stuff, it's not as crazy for, but I do think like Justin Bieber, like
absolutely. Yeah, I think that part of it is very situational. And I'll say something. Wait, okay. One, I think that we have seen specifically Harry, especially when he was on tour.
Mm.
Everyone like he could also kind of barely walk outside. There was a time where he had a hard time, like you know, getting around. And then it kind of fizzled out. People started getting like used to him being around.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is like, because he's always kind of walking around and doing his own thing.
Yeah.
People know like, oh, that's just Harry.
Yeah.
Same with Leonardo DiCaprio. He's always riding a bike around New York City. He's
that's
always
true.
Going to pick up food. Like I saw him at Eataly one time.
Yeah.
And that was a crazy thing, but he was just going down the escalator. And we locked eyes and I thought like, this is it. Like he was going down and I was going up and I glanced over to him and we locked eyes and we had eye contact for like one Mississippi, two Mississippi.
Shit.
And I was like, oh shit. And then he took me a second. And then I was young at the time too. I was like 25 working at Condé Nast.
Right on the cusp.
Right on the cusp.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't as cute then though. But so, I mean I was, but you know, so I thought about that for a long time, but the, like people getting used to celebrities being around, I think after a certain point, it's like, okay, they're
around.
Yeah,
I agree.
We're not going to bug them.
There's
like I don't know if Taylor could ever get to that point, though.
No.
Like, I don't think
yeah,
that she
again,
could
like,
just
I
start
just
walking
think
around.
That Taylor is on a different level, even from Leo and Harry and whatever.
She
like,
is now.
She
Absolutely.
Just is, totally.
Absolutely
and like,
she is.
It does suck
fans
that she
too...
won't ever be able to get experience something like that, but I just really think it has to do with the level of fame that she's at right now. I think maybe at a certain point, it will be able to get back to that. But like, yeah, like, I feel like London, New York, like L.A., there's all that like kind of unspoken, like, you know, let's all just ignore each other type of vibe.
Yeah.
When you see a celebrity, like, it's way more frowned upon, I think, in these types of cities to like go up and be like, hey, whatever, make a big deal.
It's like lame.
It
also.
Is lame.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, it's just lame. Leave them alone. You know, yeah. They're probably working, they're living. They're, yeah. This is so, what, you're supposed to be able to disappear in the city.
Yeah.
You know?
But I do agree that the fans in America, I just maybe feel like they have more of an entitlement.
Yeah,
to
I don't know what it is.
To the people, I don't know what
I think
it
they're
is.
They're probably more. They're more fame hungry. They're more. It's. I there are more people
like
in America that
people
are
in
that.
America have a lack of manners.
That phone video surprise thing. That's like always people in America. Like I feel like I never see. Like you do sometimes see. Like the you know European fans do that, but or non-American fans do that, but I feel like that's an American thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Taylor will never get to that point. I'm still like honestly laughing about her being like when Harry was running around in those red shorts.
In those
like,
little
teeny tiny
shorts. Red shorts. No, listen, girl, I'm right there with you. I'm like zooming
and
in.
Like,
I'm
like, oh, for sure. I was like, yep, the red shorts and the navy like.
Yeah.
Like,
no. He is the hottest person alive.
He's
like
so
it's
hot.
Actually
and
so annoying.
He just gets hotter every day.
He gets hotter every day. Even when he shaved his head, I was like, what?
No, he looked
and then
great.
He came back and his hair looked 10 times
his
better.
It looks like thicker now.
He must have gotten a transplant.
Does he have a little salt and pepper? Like he might. I think on the sides. Like I think I noticed in the picture. It could have been like for the picture. Like I don't know, but I thought I noticed a little.
He was at
he's not old enough for salt and pepper, but some people have that.
He was at Niall's concert. Did you see?
So cute.
No, it actually like made me start tearing up. Him dancing to Stockholm Syndrome, and he was recording horizontally. I was like, stop! And he was like fist bumping and dancing. It was
that
so
makes me
want to
cry
cute.
Even
it
more because we went to Niall ourselves.
I know.
And we know what a good show that is.
And he's such a humble
and how
king.
Sweet. And he's such a humble king.
I'm so
Niall
happy.
Deserves the world.
Them too. It
is
seems
he dating
like
anyone. Niall?
Apparently, I think so. Some. Damn it!
I thought that was my end.
I think some like random cutie girl.
Of course.
I think she's like a model or something.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Fuck. Okay, let's jump into the next one.
Okay.
Hi, Gia. Hi, Kelly. This is Eric in New York City. Oh. Straight, single, tattoos, gym, whatever. Not important. I'm calling because I was walking home listening to Old Taylor. And I had this thought. I was a little high. And I just started thinking how much simpler it used to be a fan of Taylor Swift, where you didn't have to, you know, do the deep dives into everything and all the games and the this and the that and the choreography at the shows and never mind the shows, just, you know, being this thing of their own magnitude now. I was listening to, you know, like, Hey Steven, and it's just so simple and just so pure. And it just had me thinking that I'm glad she's so successful and you know she's the biggest thing on planet Earth. But sometimes I just miss the good old days where it was just a lot easier to be a fan of Taylor, where it was just not everything was a huge thing. It just it was just like being a fan of her songs and her music was enough. Anyway, big fan, listen every week, tattoos, gym, etc. Still the same.
Still single.
Can't wait to hear the episode. Love you guys.
Wow, thanks,
wow,
Eric.
Thanks, Eric from New York.
Yeah.
Love you too.
Wonder who that is.
Yeah, wonder who that is. Yeah. It's of course our coworker.
It's a coworker
who
Nate,
has
yeah.
been saying for weeks now that he's
he wanted
to call
in.
Honestly,
that's
a
great
question,
though.
Very good question, and something. I feel like I have two thoughts when hearing it. One is I don't disagree.
Yeah.
Two is I'm glad that it's as big as it is, all the choreography and all the whatever, because otherwise we wouldn't have a podcast.
Like, what would
no,
we talk
fact.
About?
But also, I don't disagree with what he's saying. I think that there are levels to the fandom that sometimes if you are like, you're a fan, but that you're now labeled a casual fan because you're not a super fan.
Yeah, yeah.
And that does suck.
I don't think that's fair. I think at the end of the day, like, and when I was listening to what he was saying, like, my first thought was kind of like, it's your life. Like, it's your choice.
It's your life. Listen, it's your life.
You don't have to get so involved in the
no.
world. Like, my two girlfriends, they came over the other day, and they're like, Gia, like, do you think, like, we're not Swifties? Because, like, I went to the air store with them, and but they were like, but we don't really know, like, the, you know, the lore of the Blake Lively and the lore of this and that. But I was like, no, you guys love her and you love her music. That's all you need to do.
Right.
Like, you don't have to be, like, a crazy fan knowing everything about her life, knowing everything that's going on. without, as long as you like love her and support her and listen to music, you're her fan. Like, it doesn't matter.
Absolutely. And I think that, right, people are sometimes intimidated now by the fandom because they think like, oh, I'm not worthy to like call myself.
It's a
lot. Chappell Roan said it. Chappell Roan was like, I'm a fan of her music, I respect her as a person, but I wouldn't be labeled a Swiftie because I'm not as intense as the Swifties. Which like we said, there are levels to it, certainly. There's the super fans. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're on that level. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like there's the freaks, which we're not there, obviously. Nobody wants to be there.
Yeah,
if you've reached that level, you've gone too far. Turn around, collect, go to jail, whatever. Monopoly style. But so I think that being a fan is still, you are still a Swiftie if you are a fan of her and her music. And like you said, that's all that really matters.
Yeah. It has gotten intense. Like, you know, feel like there's so much things that you need to know.
All the choreography and stuff at the shows, like that stuff, I think is more because people have this longing, especially now, for community. And I think that like this tour obviously is so big. And so we're seeing all the different, like, There's some one or two things to do in like every era, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I think that at other tours, previous tours, maybe there was one thing that happened in the show that everyone did.
Yeah.
But because the Eras Tour is all the eras, we do something for each thing. So it's kind of like a greatest of the choreography, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And so I obviously don't have a problem with it personally. And I think that people just love going and being like, wow, like we all know this thing at the same time. We all know to put our hands up for Fearless.
Yeah.
We all know to 1, 2, 3, let's go, bitch.
Like,
we all know, you know, what's lights up for Marjorie. We know these things.
Where are you going tonight?
Where are you going out tonight? Yeah. Where are you going? I'm going out. Boys only want love if it's torture. Sydney.
Sydney. Yeah.
We know all these things. But that to me is just all in good fun. Although I think I would feel like if I went to a show and I didn't know any of those things and I saw everybody kind of doing it around me, I'd be like, oh, fuck. Like, am I even like,
I feel left out. I'd be like, shit. Like, how do I not know this tea?
But don't feel left out.
No.
Just go along with it.
Yeah, whatever level you want to put yourself on, that's okay. Like, you do not have to know everything about Taylor Swift to consider yourself a fan.
Nope.
Like, even if you like a few of her songs, you're still a fan. Like, it doesn't really matter where you lie on the scale of intensity to casualty, but I just think as long as you fight the good fight.
Just fight the good fight.
Of the Swiftie fight.
Protect her against the haters.
If you hear someone talking shit about her, just be like, hey, don't talk
just
shit.
Just be like, fuck up. Or,
yeah, that's your one job.
That's our girl.
That's the only thing that you should feel pressured about is speaking up when it's time.
just showing respect.
Yeah,
that's
all. That's what I mean.
Just showing a little bit of respect.
Yeah.
If you hear someone being disrespectful, you don't have to shit all over them. You can just be like, well.
Yeah.
We don't align there because I have respect for this woman.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all I gotta say.
Facts. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is not a question. I just thought it was pretty informative.
Oh.
Hello, Kelly and Gia. I just wanted to say, first of all, that I love your podcast. I love both of you before, so the fact that you came together is just amazing. Thank you for your merch on Comfort Colors. I ordered the red shirt, and I can't wait. It's going to be the perfect
football day shirt.
My question for you, though, this week is about the whole Charli XCX thing on New York Magazine, that whole article. Mm-hmm. So I do not think that that is directed towards Taylor in any way specifically. Like, I think that it was a photo shoot that was done well before the Vienna shows.
Definitely.
And then when you look at who the photographer is, like, David LaChapelle is known for, like, that sort of, like, controversial take on things. Like, I just want to know what your thoughts are, because to me, like, I think David LaChapelle said that the whole thing is a dreamscape that Charli is in, and then she breaks free. Like, the cut-off hand is Charlie's. And there's another photo where she's, like, chained, like, handcuffed to a fence. So, like, to me, like, it all makes sense artistically, and I really don't think it's about Taylor. I don't think that the timing has anything to do with her. So my other question is just, like, why does everybody make it, like, Taylor versus this person and that person when, like, they're their own artists, and I really don't think that there was any sort of ill intent behind this. So I just wanted your thoughts, because maybe I missed something, but thank you. Love you both. Love your podcast. I cannot wait for the new episodes every week.
Yay!
Love you. Bye.
Thanks, Queen.
Thanks, Angel.
See, I didn't know anything about the photographer.
I know that photographer, and I know that he does just a lot of famous shoots. Yeah, yeah. I thought, like, I now, since we talked about this yesterday, I didn't realize that people really genuinely, like, I thought it was a quick discourse about, like, oh, what the fuck, friendship bracelets, whatever. I thought it was extremely obvious that it was Charlie's hand. It had Charlie's name on the bracelet as if it were her own hand. I think it was extremely obvious that she had been cutting herself out of a situation. Like, I thought that the story itself was obvious and that people were just reaching based on the one photo of, like, the severed hand and the fucking thing. I don't think it had anything to do with Taylor at all.
Yeah, no, me neither.
Someone wrote in the comments, it pissed me off, and I sometimes when you see a comment and you're like, that's just so stupid, and like, I just can't believe. Somebody wrote a comment being like, well, she did, Taylor was mentioned in the interview, so it is about Taylor. And I was like, no, that's a totally separate thing. Taylor Swift was asked about Charlie XCX and how she feels about her music, and she gave a response. That has nothing to do with the photo shoot Charlie did for her own, like, piece in New York Magazine. Has nothing to do with it. And again, these photo shoots are done months in advance. Like, these things are planned out. Like, and I say this because I used to work in magazines. We were working on summer stuff in February. Yeah. Like, that's the timeline, because things need to go to the printer. If you're working in print, even digitally, you can get a little closer to the wire, but it's at least a month and a half in advance. Like, it's very, very planned. And so people that think, like, oh, she saw this happening and now we're just going to make this about it, like, that's certainly not the case.
Yeah.
And especially if you read that interview, which I said, I highly recommend you read it, just if you're looking for that kind of information. She said that for over a year, they've planned Charlie's, like, the branding for Brat. Like, this is, it's a well thought out, well oiled machine with, like, some of Charlie's own personal stuff, like, sprinkled in. Like, she did say, like, I want this to be, you know, my stuff.
Yeah.
But she was consulted on it. They had this full plan of how they were going to do it, and it was extremely successful. That does not mean that she used that bracelet thing as, like, a part of, like, that has nothing to do with Taylor. And I don't like that, of course, here we are, and it's, like, pitching them against each other and whatever. And I thought that, like, Taylor saying nice things about Charlie in the article would negate all that bullshit, and instead people are reaching to find something else to yell about. And it just makes no sense. Like, it has nothing to do with that. Nothing.
I think the question that she asked, like, why do you think, like, people always pit Taylor against people? Like, why is it always, like, in the media this way?
Yeah.
I really honestly think it has a lot to do with Stan Twitter, like, Stan accounts.
Absolutely.
And I don't even want to, I don't know if jealousy is the right word, but it to me, it seems like these certain Stan accounts are jealous that their artist isn't at the Taylor Swift level. So they want to bring her down.
Yep.
And by doing that, they paint her as a malicious, a manipulative, whatever, person trying to block people, trying to go out of her way to make sure people don't get number one. And then that paints a bigger picture of a beef between Taylor and Charlie. And then you can deep dive and, oh, Charlie opened for Taylor in 2015. She said this, that, and this. I think Stan accounts open these cans of worms.
Absolutely.
By putting their favorite artist against Taylor.
They plant the seeds. Plant the seeds. And
like, the Ariana Grande stands. Like, I just don't get it. Like, I just don't get the hatred.
Because fans of these people don't act like this. It's these crazy people online.
Psychopaths.
Which is why I said the other day about the people sharing, the Swiftie accounts sharing those paparazzi photos. Like, these Stan accounts will also make, I've gotten so, like, woke to the internet lately that I'm like, nothing is real and nobody is real. I know that people make fake Swiftie accounts to, like, make Taylor look bad. Like, that's the thing that people do because they just want, you know, she's the biggest thing going. And people that do those kinds of things, that make fake accounts and that masquerade as other people and you know, spread hate and stuff, like, I personally, I think that there's something actually wrong with them people who do things like that. They also have such a warped view of reality that they don't think that what they're saying or doing has any effect on, like, the actual world itself. But what happens is Stan Twitter will be going off about something. Then something starts trending. Then the major news outlets are looking for articles to write, looking for clicks, and they see Taylor Swift and they say, goldmine. Just the same way that people write about Barstool Sports. If they see Barstool Sports, goldmine. They'll do the New York Post. All they fucking do all day long is write about Barstool Sports because they know that people are going to click on a Dave Portnoy blog. They know that they're going to click on something Barstool related because it's salacious.
Yeah.
And I think with Taylor Swift, it's like people are sick of the praise. Like she's the kindest woman in the world. She's constantly delivering food to, you know, shelters, and she spends a boatload of money to charity, like all the time, silently, whatever. No one writes about that shit because nobody wants to hear nonstop nice things about Taylor Swift. They want to hear the dirt. So that's what gets clicks, and that's what gets going. And then all of a sudden it's in the news cycle, and then it's on this fucking podcast, and we got to talk about how it's bullshit.
Yeah.
And that's extremely frustrating, but that's just the cycle of things. And I don't know when the cycle will break. I think like people don't want to admit that Twitter, you know, X is like the biggest thing going, you know, in terms of like spreading misinformation and also influencing.
Well, now they have like the reader's context thing, which is good.
The reader's context thing is extremely helpful, I think. But I also think that people see that sometimes, see those things sometimes before the reader's context is there.
Like, totally.
People add that shit in like too late. And it's just the quickest way to read quote unquote news, and people just go with it. And I think that a lot more people are on Twitter than you think. And even if they have accounts or they're active or not, they're always looking at it. Like TikTok is one thing. People get a lot of information and misinformation from TikTok as well, but it's videos. So it's harder to like sit at your desk all day and watch that. So people just fucking scroll, you know, Twitter so fast. Yeah. They just scroll through it. They see something, it sticks with them, and then it becomes fact in their heads. And, you know, I definitely bring it up all the time how I'm like fully scared of the internet now. Like I just, you know, like I like it as a tool, and I like to be on it and know what's going on, because if you're not, I feel like you're not involved with the world somehow, which is a weird way to think about it. But it's scary to think how those stan accounts can shape a reputation of someone.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
Taylor being
one of the
prime people that they're
and
like
people
to go
are
after.
So quick to jump. I mean, we talked about this, like opinions and stuff on TikTok. Like people are so quick to jump on a certain opinion, jump on a certain train. Mm-hmm. They see one video, see one tweet, and they're like, oh, that's the way I'm gonna think.
Exactly.
So like it's hard, and then it's hard to, you know, bring people to the light because,
well, it's like they're not gonna go see a follow up. That's always my biggest problem is whenever something's going on, and like, especially here, if there's drama happening here and people hear one thing and it goes out and then it's like completely wrong, like just misinformation, someone's spreading a narrative, something's going on, whatever. And the person that it's about is like, well, actually, none of that's true. Nobody sees that follow up. So then you get stuck with whatever that is. That's how people get stuck with like nicknames or preconceived notions about how they act or speak or think.
Yeah.
Because people spread lies.
Yeah.
You know, it's fucked up.
It's frustrating.
It is frustrating.
Okay, let's jump into DMs. This one is a good one.
Yay. Oh, smiley. I'm so excited.
It's interesting. Hi, ladies. Love the pod. Thank you for catching me up on all Swiftie tea that I always seem to miss. Your Tuesday episode is causing me to suddenly reflect. Let me preface that Sunday I was at the beach in Watch Hill, Rhode Island, and I already had these plans in motion before news outlets broadcasted that Taylor was there. Ooh. Taylor's mansion sits atop a hill with maybe 20-foot hedges on one side for privacy from the very public beach entrance, and maybe 25-30-foot rock wall with fences that separate her house from the ocean. And during low tide, you can walk right in front of the house on the sand. While I was frolicking, I couldn't help but get upset when I noticed a very sus boat docked in the water directly in front of Taylor's house for most of the afternoon.
Fuck.
Taylor has worked so hard all summer. Why can't people just leave her be? And yet, while I was swimming, I got a pretty pretty clear view of four people moving about on one of her balconies. It was too far to tell who they were, but I couldn't help but wonder if it was our blonde queen. Upon later confirmation from paparazzi pics, it was Gigi. Womp womp.
Aw, Gigi.
Anywho, now I'm questioning if I'm no better than these paparazzi scum. In my wildest dreams, I would just want to meet her and tell her how much her music means to me, and then I'll be ready for Rep TV when she's ready. But now I can see how watching her is so invasive. Maybe I need to get to therapy. Let me add, I'm 32 and I acknowledge this behavior probably isn't cute. What do you think? XO, Stephanie.
Stephanie,
I think
you're being too hard on yourself, girl.
First of all, you're just enjoying your vacation.
You're enjoying
God forbid you want to take a swim.
You're enjoying your vacation. You're taking
a
swim.
Planned
surprise,
it.
Taylor Swift. Like that's a surprise.
That's just good luck.
That's just good luck.
Yeah. And she said she planned it before knowing.
Of course.
These paparazzi
knew she was going.
Yeah. They're sitting there waiting in the boat for her all fucking afternoon. You're just enjoying a swim. You just so happened to get a peek. You didn't take a picture. You didn't fucking scream at the top of your lungs. You're good, Stephanie. Stephanie. Don't worry about it.
You're being too hard on yourself. But here's the thing with that. The difference, Steph, is, may I call you Steph? Yeah. Is that you were just taking a swim and you glanced up. There's a Taylor fucking Swift's house. I would do the same shit. If I'm taking a swim, first of all, I couldn't like go on that beach next to her house. No, like, I would be like staring like, oh my God, yeah. Taylor's right there. Yeah. Like I would have no chill because she lives right there. And it is interesting that she is so close. So you were right. So you can walk in front of her.
That's what low tide or whatever. Yeah.
So the difference though is that you're going out there and you're looking. Of course, you didn't have intention. You didn't go out there with a zoom lens and try to take photos and try to like be fucking crazy. Because you're right, it is an invasion of privacy, but it's hard in person when you're like, oh my God, there's a celeb. Like you're not going up to her back porch and fucking knocking on the hedges. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You're in the water and you look up and you see people on the balcony. You know that it's Taylor and all of her friends, and you're like, oh my God. But then, you seeing the paparazzi posted up and being like skeeved out by it, that is where you're true, like you're good.
Yeah. You
as
can
you
recognize.
Should be, and you good.
Yeah.
Like you're fine.
Yeah.
Like that's, as long as you recognize that that's shit,
I knew,
then you're fine.
I liked the tidbit about the boat because
no,
I was
of
curious.
Course. Well, that's what we were saying that last week. I was like, there's gotta be somebody on a boat somewhere.
Yeah.
But to have them docked like close enough for people on the beach, see, how is that not, like, I wonder if there's like a certain amount, like certain perimeter that they can't go past, or somebody can't
say anything
about, you know?
Well, because how does the Coast Guard not get involved? Must not be private then, because if you can walk on it during low tide, like.
Right.
But the Coast Guard, I don't think that's like in their, like.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
they're not
Coast
doing
Guard,
anything illegal.
You know, I'll ask Mackenzie. I'll ask Mackenzie, because Mackenzie's in the Coast Guard.
Oh, duh,
I'll ask my cousin who came with us to Paris. I'll ask her. And you know what? She used to be stationed in Cape Cod. So I bet that she's like,
oh, I wonder if
not
she knows.
Anymore. But I'll have to ask her. I'll text her and ask her what, like, if
there's ever been
paparazzi ever been like a
like on the walkie talkie,
right?
Paparazzi down Watch Hill.
Paparazzi outside Taylor Swift's house,
let's
really invading her privacy. Yeah. let's take care of it.
Let's take care of it.
Yep.
Let's take them out. You got the snipers?
Yeah, you got it. That's the thing though. Like, if I'm Taylor Swift and I'm on my balcony and I see a boat out there, I'm shooting a flare gun right in their face. Like that's anger management issues. Like I am so furious. Like,
no,
bitch,
I get why people
first
flip off
week
like,
off
when like St. West, like Northwest, when they flip off
no,
the paparazzi.
Good for them.
I'm
I
like,
love when
fuck
they do that.
Yeah,
shit.
Like
I love when the celebrities get buck back at the paparazzi.
Me too.
And it makes me even more mad when the paparazzi are like, whoa, what's your problem?
Yeah.
It's like
you're my problem.
The fucking problem.
Yeah.
You're the problem.
Yeah.
And they deserve.
We could
at.
Never be.
No, we could never. We could never. And that's the thing. Like, I would be shaved head Britney Spears with an umbrella
labeled
so fast.
As, like, hard to work with, no. Bitchy, like, no. Awful.
So moody.
Yeah.
No, forget it. Like I said, I would be smashing a windshield name with
God.
An umbrella
no.
with a shaved head
I would lose
so
my
fast.
Mind so quick. So quick.
No way.
So respect to all these celebrities because God
respect.
Damn.
For having
when I
that,
see
right.
celebrities
the
lose
composure.
It on the paparazzi, I'm like, they're human beings.
No, I really, I like, you know,
yeah.
round of applause for them whenever they
yeah.
do. So yeah, I would have shot a flare gun right at the boat. Hopefully it put a hole in it and sunk your whole fucking ship, bitches. Like that's what would have happened. And Taylor's a stronger woman than I
damn,
for not
she,
doing
that.
That
would be so fucking funny
be
if she did that.
It'd be amazing. She could borrow Jenna Ortega's like bazooka gun from the Taste video.
Yeah, that's so funny.
That's what I mean. Like it's
just. She
just
keep like a fake bazooka on her deck and just be like.
Yeah. I'll be like.
Literally.
We'll throw the TV at the paparazzi.
No, literally.
No, for real though. It's that. Thank you, Stephanie, for that. All of that important information.
Yeah.
Because now
don't lose sleep over this.
Don't lose sleep over it for yourself. But good for you for seeing it, and thank you for sharing it. And now I'll share it to the masses. And if you see a boat just hanging around for 18 hours outside Taylor Swift's house, maybe swim up to it and say, "Hey, mind your business."
Hey.
Get out of here.
She should have swam up to
Move
the boat and started
it.
like unscrewing
no,
things.
Totally. Like I'm gonna go to Watch Hill this weekend and
should
I'm gonna
we
look
go
at that
with
boat.
Scuba?
We'll go with scuba gear. We'll go on the bottom. I'll get a drill. I got a drill at my house. I'll drill some holes in the bottom until they fucking sink. I'm not even kidding. Like, they hope you can swim, bitch.
Every boat in Watch
Hill
is sinking due to unforeseen circumstances.
A crazy, crazy turn of events happening in Watch Hill, Rhode Island. We're not sure. Two unidentified women have been seen drilling holes
with
in all the boats, and then it cuts
gear.
To us. It cuts to us.
We,
scuba
it's
gear,
for Taylor.
The scuba gear all the way up, and our bangs are out.
We were just doing our due diligence, okay? We're just trying to protect our
queen. Questioned after by, like, the news. We're outside. Taylor's house is, like, in the background. We're like, listen, we're just trying to protect our queen. We're doing our best. She deserves privacy, and we need to make it happen.
Come on. Like, let her have
one
night.
It's time we took action.
Yeah. People would rally around us, I think.
They would. Yeah. We would be heroes. Yeah. We would be heroes. For real, though. Like, I just...
I feel
shame
like we
on
should
these
just,
pops.
We should wrap it up.
Yeah, we've been going for a long time.
We've been
time.
Going for
we've
really chit-chatting. Long time.
Oh, wow, we really have. All right, well, lovely array of voicemails, questions, all the above. Thank you so much to everybody who wrote in and called in, as always. It's our favorite thing. We love these episodes on Thursdays.
Yes.
Hope that we have given you quite a few doses this week of fun
and laughter and light.
Laughter and light and just
and
love.
Happiness and
live, laugh, and love.
Oh, wait.
Oh,
very quickly. Guess what I finished?
What?
Empire of Storms.
Oh my God.
I know. We'll talk about
we'll
it after.
We'll talk about it after.
Yeah.
But we hope you guys have a wonderful Labor Day weekend if you celebrate and enjoy
the last
the last
bits
few
of
drops
summer.
Of summer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Love you guys.
Love you guys so much. See you next week. Mwah.